We will allow participants an opportunity to speak during public comment periods. If you wish to speak during public comment, there is a toolbar either at the top or bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover over it with your cursor. Click on the word participants and a box will open up on your screen showing a list of participants, and at the bottom of that box you can click on raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting facilitator and you'll be unmuted at the appropriate time to ask your questions or give input. During the time you are unmuted, please make sure that you don't have any background noise such as TVs, radios, and so forth. Even the shuffling of papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name and address when called on. Comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less, and vulgarity and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in being immediately muted and possibly being removed from the meeting. If you are unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate in discussion, you can call 582-0337 and Patrick will be happy to help you and with the process. I'd like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work our way through tonight's meeting agenda. With that being said, I'd like to call the meeting to order and let's go through the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States
of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, Caroline, let's go through roll call, please.
Conklin.
Present remotely from Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Grunt.
Here. Participating from home in Boyne City, Michigan.
Needhammer.
Present from home in Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Paige.
Present from home in Boyne City, USA, Michigan.
Solomon.
Present, participating at home in Boyne City, Michigan, USA.
Thank you. Let's go through the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item or items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have three items: the approval of the November 24th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented. We have approved the purchase order contract with Karen Net Company for Rotary Park softball field safety netting, not to exceed $5,743.05. Authorized city manager to execute documents. And we have considered the city manager's recommendation to modify the language in section 5.19 of the city's personnel policy to increase the holiday bonus to $250 for department heads and $200 for all other full-time non-union employees with the required seniority. Is there anyone from staff or the public or commissioners that we don't talk about any of the consent agenda items?
I'll make a motion that we approve them as presented.
Thank you, Ron.
Second.
Second by Sally. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Paige.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunt.
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to citizens' comments. This would be on non-agenda items. Patrick, do we have anybody in the audience that wants to participate?
Showing one currently, Kurt Plow.
Okay. Kurt, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. please state your name. We are going to talk later on as an agenda item, but you're welcome on the city's role as far as helping downtown businesses, but you're welcome to speak now.
So why don't we wait until then and let me make my comments then?
That's whatever you'd like to do, Kurt. So
all right.
Okay.
I can do with that.
Okay. Thank you. Patrick, anybody else?
Showing none, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to correspondence. I have none. And moving on to city manager's report, Mike.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to let the city commission know that the wastewater system pumps that were previously approved by the city commission have been installed at the wastewater plant and at the river mouth pump house. So those are up and operational. The city's first electric vehicle charging station has been installed in the northwest corner of the city parking lot and that lot that next to the library. Once its electrical inspection has been approved by the county, Consumers Energy will make the final power connections and it will be set for activation. The other charging station in the northeast corner of Old City Park off River Street has been delayed while Consumers Energy clarifies the location of some underground high voltage lines that the contractor found when looking to install it. So that'll be pushed off a couple of weeks. So this one that's over by the Red Building, we possibly could get operational before the end of the year or sometime in January at the latest. Our retired 2005 one-ton pickup, DPW pickup truck sold for $2,025 on a new to us online service, govdeals.com. The funds have been received and the truck is awaiting pickup from the buyer. We were unsuccessful in obtaining a Land and Water Conservation Fund grant for the open space in its most recent funding cycle. After talking with our consultants on the matter, Beckon and Rader, the plan is to proceed with phase two, which includes the parking lot and main the rain garden projects, and then reapply to the state for phases one and four in April. Tim Knutson of Beckon and Rader is following up with the state on that strategy and will confirm that going forward. The electric gate relocation has been completed at the Public Works facility and a loose connection that caused some problems over the weekend has been fixed. The gate will initially be open between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. daily, and signage is being prepared to let customers know about that as well. The police department's new patrol SUV that has previously been approved by the city commission has been received at Mather's Ford and is awaiting pickup and its final outfitting. On December 4th, I responded to Boyne Valley Township's 425 proposal, suggesting that they reconsider our most recent proposal. It is my understanding that they will be meeting tomorrow, Wednesday. Charlevoix County is considering declaring a state of emergency at their meeting tomorrow on Wednesday that will allow virtual meetings throughout all public entities in the county to continue if desired. If for some reason the county does not approve this action before the first of the year and or the legislature does not modify their existing end of year deadline on unrestricted electronic meetings like the one we're having tonight, we may need to hold a special meeting to consider the matter and our own possible state of emergency before the end of the year. So I'm hoping that one of those two opportunities will take place and we won't have to get involved in that, but we'll all have to keep an eye on it and keep you posted. Tomorrow between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m., we will be holding a second round of free drive-through COVID testing here at the City Hall. The entrance will be by the Veterans Memorial on State Street, looping around and then driving through the fire hall. Steve Zucker, who's been reporting and covering the city of Boyne City and many other areas with the News Review, is no longer with them. He covered his last meeting with us for them at our last meeting. So I've had the pleasure of working with Steve for quite some time, found him to be an excellent reporter that asked questions, and you know, use his own judgment to get to the matter of things. So we wish him well. And I'd like to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll see you hopefully in a better and healthier 2001, if not sooner. If you have any questions or need to, would like additional items on information on these or other items, please let me know.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, any questions for Mike? I would echo your sentiments that Steve Zucker has done the city of Buena City a very professional. He's always performed very professionally and represented us well. And I too wish him the best in his future endeavors, whatever that may be. Moving on to reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. In our packets is the draft minute, the Main Street draft minutes from November 5th. We have the Planning Commission draft minutes from November 16th, and we have the Historic District Commission draft minutes from November 19th. Commissioners, any questions on any of those packets that were in our made available to us?
Mr. Mayor, I had one question for Scott regarding the Planning Commission meeting. Scott, I saw that the Planning Commission was talking about the properties for the redevelopment ready community. What will be the process on coming up with a final list for that?
Well, after we get input from the Planning Commission, we're going to take it back to staff and discuss it further. And then hopefully select the three RRC sites, but we also wanted to identify other potential sites because a lot of times those sites can be kind of fluid. So we like to be able to switch them around if one comes off the list and move it in. So
I noticed there was some discussion about the Fochman lot and the need for parking. I was wondering, I know there's new members on the Planning Commission, have they become familiar with that parking study that was done a couple of years ago, just to, you know, get an understanding of how it was a few years ago, at least?
I believe the majority of them have been exposed to it. And we did that training not too long ago last year in regards to, you know, updating them on that. No one has specifically said they haven't known about it. So it's been provided to all of them.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hugh. Anybody else? Okay, we do not have any new old business. Let's move on to new business. Item A, Police Chief Spate has some announcements for us. Chief.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners, Mr. Kane, staff, and guests in the audience. The Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police has an award and citation program that usually takes place during their summer conference. This summer conference was canceled due to COVID-19. During that conference, we were scheduled to present Officer Novak and Deputy Jeremy McAuliffe with the Sheriff's Department with the Police Medal of Valor. Since the conference did not take place, we had a small private ceremony with our department during one of our trainings to give Officer Novak his award. But I thought you all should be aware of the award as well. The Police Medal of Valor is the second highest award the MACP may bestow upon a law enforcement officer. The Medal of Valor is awarded to law enforcement officers for exceptionally meritorious conduct involving exemplary courage, great risk, and danger to the officer's personal safety. The Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police has awarded 8 Medals of Valor in 2019. Two of those 8 awards went to Officer Joel Novak and Deputy Jeremy McCullough from the Sheriff's Department for the following incident. On October 26, 2019, just before 2:30 in the morning, Officer Novak was called to the local halfway house for a report of a suicidal man that had left the area. It was reported to Officer Novak that the suspect was going to overdose on pills. Deputy McCullough arrived to assist with locating the subject, The investigation led them to the village of Walloon. Officers could hear an air horn in the area, which was highly unusual for this time of night, and the subject was located hiding behind parked cars in a parking lot across the street from a local drug rehabilitation center. Officer Novak and Deputy McAuliffe made contact with the subject, at which time several knives were taken off of him during a pat-down. During this pat-down, the subject became agitated, would not follow commands of the officers, and a brief struggle occurred between the subjects and the officers. Several taser deployments were attempted and had no effect on the subject. During the struggle with the officers, the subject drew a pistol from his waistband. Officer Novak recognized the threat, yelled gun to Deputy McAuliffe, giving him time to react to the threat. The subject began to fire at the officers. Both officers took cover behind vehicles and returned fire. The subject was hit multiple times, including a fatal shot. Both officers were unharmed during this altercation. Upon further investigation, it was found that the subject had a fully loaded pistol with an extended magazine, several extra loaded magazines, and more ammunition on his person, along with the air horn. The suspect's vehicle was hidden behind another building in the area, and it is believed that the subject was at that location using the air horn to draw out occupants of the rehabilitation center in hopes for a mass shooting. The actions of Officer Novak and Deputy McAuliffe were exemplary that evening, both for the continued search for the suicidal man in hopes of rendering assistance and for their actions after the suspect presented a deadly threat to the officers. Both officers' actions saved multiple lives that evening and are more than worthy of the Police Medal of Valor. This incident, along with many others, highlight the importance of our local law enforcement agencies working together as a team. They come to assist each other when needed, regardless of the situation. So, like I said, we have given our award to Officer Novak, and I just thought you all should be aware of the details around the situation and that he has been given one of 8 awards in the state of Michigan through the MACP.
Thank you, Chief Spaeth.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Is Officer Novak present?
I don't think he is. He has lived and relived this several times, and I advised him that if he didn't want to jump in tonight and relive it yet again, that it was probably time to start moving past this incident, which we're working on with him.
Okay, well said, thank you.
Yep.
Commissioners, any comments, or should we, you still got the floor, Chief.
For that part, I'm set. I do have a second thing when we're ready to move on.
Well, before we move on, I just want to echo my reviews of this matter. I was at a conference and got a call from our prior chief, Jeff Gaither, with regards to this incident taking place, and followed the investigation very closely. Obviously, it's a very serious matter, but everything that I've learned and found out with regards to this process, Joel and the deputy acted very professionally. They did everything they could to bring the person in and provide them the assistance that was requested, but unfortunately it didn't turn out that way. So Joel handled himself, again, very professionally and was a credit to our department and I believe to the city of Boyne City. So we're very supportive of his actions, our department, and congratulate him on this award and good use of judgment.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners?
I would say the same. I was aware of it happening when it happened, and it was fairly amazing, actually.
Thank you, Sally. Okay. Well, I echo Mike and Kevin's sentiments, and we value a quality police department for sure. And we appreciate you every day, Chief.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, can I move on to a bit cheerier note?
Okay.
With your permission.
Please.
As with keeping a quality department, our search here several months ago led us to a young man by the name of Brandon Huff. At the time of interviewing, he was in the academy, and he impressed us very highly with all of his recommendations and the way that he handled himself in the interview, and we figured it was a good wait till December when he graduates. He did graduate last Thursday, so we put him to work last Friday. Brandon Huff is from Johannesburg. He graduated from Johannesburg Lewiston High School in 2016. He's received a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Saginaw Valley State University in 2020. And he's a recent graduate of the Kirtland Regional Police Academy in December. Brandon's mother and father live in Johannesburg and has two siblings, and his brother Blake is an officer with Gaylord PD. And I believe his uncle was also an officer with Gaylord PD. Brandon is with us tonight, zooming in from my office as well as Assistant Chief Mercer. We're excited to have him on board. He's got a very bright future ahead of him, and we can't wait to get him up to speed and get him running. As you can see, he worked today, and you'll see him out in the car here on days and midnights over the next few months getting trained, and hope to have him out on his own. And that will put our numbers back to full staff, barring sickness and injuries and anything like that. So welcome, Brandon. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Brandon. We appreciate you picking Boyne City. I'm sure you had many choices. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and give us some first impressions here?
All right. Well, as Chief already mentioned, I'm from a small town, Johannesburg. I grew up there. I never experienced anything big. I came to Boyne City in search of a job. And the more I visited, the more I've heard things about, the more I fell in love with the community. I'm looking forward to serving this great community. I feel that there's a great standing relationship between the citizens and the police department. And I think that's something that I value and something I hold dear to my heart as I continue forward here.
Well said. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mike?
I had the opportunity to sit in on the interview with Brandon when he came into the department and was very impressed with him as well, too. And I was very pleased to see that they gave him a nice office to start off with. So hopefully that can hopefully give him something to shoot for in a long career with Boyne City.
Okay.
But you're going to have to wrestle Kevin to get it to try and stay there.
He does look pretty comfortable there.
And you start right off on night shift. That's a good place to start there. All right. Commissioners, anything?
Just a comment. Welcome. And you're absolutely right that Boyne City is a fabulous place and a wonderful place to have a career. So glad you decided to choose us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome, and thank you very much.
All right. Let's move on to item B, the Heritage Center Collections Update. Keisha, are you still with us?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, things are pretty slow with us due to the COVID. We're just sort of a little bit holding in neutral, but I'll just give you an update on what our latest things that we have done. We have had several approvals from the city, which we thank you for. We had the final collections policy approved with the recommendations made by the city attorney. Those changes were made, and so we have our final on that. Our artifact, we are waiting to begin the system of inventorying, scanning, researching, and preserving the artifacts, including photos and documents, for stage one. And we made a checkout system, a paperwork system for that, just so we can, it'll help us keep track of where everything is, when it's been checked out, when it's been returned, and what kinds of things we found in those boxes. We've also, thank you for your approval to, we'll need to get keys for the exterior doors of the city building and for the second floor storage room. Our storage room will be where we'll be storing the flat artifacts, such as the photos and maps and documents and things like that. Right now, we are sort of on hold for getting the keys and getting access. Mike let me know that the building is on lockdown since COVID is sort of an inferno out there. But as soon as it seems safe for us to get in there, it would be, you know, that would be good. And that would really help us get into gear and make some significant progress. We also have a commitment from Mike in the city to that the Heritage Center can utilize that full storage room upstairs. So about half of the room right now has city boxes and storage things. So we've had a commitment that those things will be moved out, and we've taken measurements of that room. We plan to get sliding archival shelving system that's made for small areas, and the shelving racks, they're on tracks, so you can slide them and get into them and save room that way. Administrative things we have going. Once we approved the collections policy, Ingrid made the recommendation to go through our bylaws and some of our other things and just make sure that all of our language is consistent throughout our policies. So that is something that is in progress. Another thing that's in progress is our strategic planning. And within that, we are working on a communication strategy, determining our manpower needs for once we move into some serious fundraising, working on getting a potential donor database started, and then future events for whenever life can go back to being open. And then part of the strategic planning, one of the things that we're discussing, this hasn't been approved yet by our board, but we are talking about, I think we have about $17,000 in our bank account. And we think that for phase one, we could do a lot of the exhibit work in the LaFrance and the clock room. And that would be, that just is a really nice place to start for us for a lot of reasons. First of all, the exhibits are probably one of the lower dollar volume in that room. A lot of it will be done by giant wall graphics and things like that aren't quite as expensive. And the other, that the fire department is just so beloved by the town, and they're just very visible, that would be just a really nice, a nice tipping of our hat to them, and just a nice visible place. And then the LaFrance glass room is like, it's like a dream three-dimensional backlit billboard, you know, that's just so visible that would just generate some excitement and visibility that things are moving. So we're hoping that can happen in 2021. Again, before those things can happen, though, we will absolutely need to have access to the artifacts so we can start scanning and just seeing what we have as far as photos, as far as artifacts, so we can start making our storyline and planning what kind of display modules we'll need and things like that. And that's about all I could think of.
Okay, we appreciate it. Mike, you wanna, or actually any staff members or any comments from the public at this time?
The only thing I'd mention, Mayor, is just to confirm Keisha's comments. As soon as we can find a way to do it safely, to get them in here so they have access to the artifacts so they can proceed with their inventorying process. We'll do that. Again, you know, one of the reasons we've closed the city offices is to protect the staff and the public. So we're just trying to, you know, limit the contamination as much as possible.
Sure. Okay. Patrick, is there anyone in the audience?
Showing none currently, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Anything from commissioners? Ron, you have anything?
Well, I just appreciate all the hard work that Keisha and her team has put together with this, and they're doing their very best to keep the dream alive, and that's been our motto. And we get rid of COVID, I think things will move. So thank you.
Well, thank you. That's really encouraging to hear.
Dean?
Yeah, this all sounds good. You know, I know progress is slow and even slower now with current pandemic issues, but it's good to hear that there are at least some progress on some of these issues.
Good.
Thanks, Dean. Sally?
Yeah, I'm excited to see it when we finally get to the point that we can go back to normal in that building. So great work so far from what I've seen.
Thank you so much.
Hugh?
So Keisha, this report was something that was agreed upon as just a quarterly update. So you'll be doing this every 3 or 4 months just to keep,
yes,
keep it up out in the public, and any concerns that people have, it would be a good opportunity to share them at that time?
Yes.
Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you. I'll pass that along to everybody.
Yeah, I would agree, Keisha. I appreciate the work and I appreciate the update. And we'll see in the spring, we'll see lots of good things happening.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, Mike?
No, I was just crossing my fingers.
Oh, got it. I thought you were raising your hand. Okay.
No, it was just crossed fingers.
You got it. Thanks, Keisha.
All right, thank you.
Okay, moving on to item C, fire truck maintenance. Mr. Amesbury, are you with us?
No, Dennis had a group meeting with the fire department, socially distanced, that he was attending to. So I'd be glad to address any questions. On a regular basis, we go out for maintenance and inspections of our equipment. What we're looking to do right now is we're going through one of our trucks that we've taken down is our 2015 pumper truck. And they took it down for the regular inspections. They found a couple other items that needed attention to bring it back to full operating service. And so we're recommending that the City Commission approve and authorize us to move forward with repairs and maintenance on the truck, not to exceed $5,583.66 per the service order that was included in your agenda packet. And I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have from it. This is happening with the company that we're using out of Grayling.
Okay, thank you. Any other staff or anybody in the audience? Patrick, I want to speak on this.
None currently.
Okay, let's go to board deliberation. Dean?
Sounds good to me. It's needed maintenance.
Sally?
Same here.
Okay, Hugh?
Yeah, I'm good. No questions.
Thank you, Ron.
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in support also. Would entertain a motion?
I'll move to approve CSI emergency apparatus to perform necessary repairs and maintenance on the 5105, the 2015 pumper truck, to bring it back to full operating service, not to exceed $5,583.66 per the December 3, 2020 service order.
Thank you, Dean.
Second.
Second by Ron. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye. Okay, thank you. Moving on to business support measures during COVID. Mike?
Well, the commission will recall that in April, we were moving fast and furious to try and deal with the rapidly changing landscape that we were dealing with our businesses and COVID and the state of Michigan and regulations that were going on. We had various governors' executive orders are going into effect at that time, and everybody was scrambling to try and gear up for the summer season and try and support businesses any way we could. The commission at that time gave me a large degree of autonomy, working with the Chamber of Commerce and our Main Street program to open up public spaces, streets, parking areas, parks, things of that nature, sidewalks, to allow businesses, restaurants and commercial ventures, different opportunities that they normally wouldn't have to expand their businesses or preserve as much of the business as they could during the summer months, especially when outdoor conditions were were pretty good. We've had a number of requests, everything from the short-term parking signs that you see in front of a number of our businesses downtown, to a food truck that has been at various locations. And I think Kurt may want to address that in his comments as well too. To using like the end of Water Street for Cafe Sante and adjacent Sunset Park for some outdoor dining areas. We're trying to figure out ways to help the businesses during the winter months as well too. That's quite a bit trickier since people don't like usually to sit out in the cold. So, but our Economic Vitality Committee is working on that. The Design Committee of the Main Street Program was speaking about that at their meeting earlier this week as well too. So since the agenda went out, Commissioner Conklin suggested some avenues for soliciting some further input. So Kelsey King Duff, our Main Street Executive Director, sent out, let people know that this discussion was going to be taking place tonight through an email blast to our business list in the downtown area, and we may have some additional feedback on that. So far from a city perspective, things seem to have worked out pretty well. We were able to deal with pretty much every request we had in some type of a positive manner, even though there were some modifications or tweaking or compromising that had to be done on some of them to try and balance off the additional business with the COVID risks that were happening out there. So you also received a email from Leslie Nielsen with regards to some of her comments on this as well too. So with that as a background, I turn it over for further discussion.
Thank you, Mike. Is Kelsey with us?
Yes, she is.
Okay, we got your memo. Anything else you'd like to add, Kelsey?
I think that pretty much sums it up. Definitely, when we were just starting this in March, I think, people were pretty nervous and kind of just hunkered down. And overall, it seems, based on the feedback that I've gotten from quite a few of our businesses, I would say we're in a better spot than, what anyone thought we would have been or could have been. So I think that says a lot about, what we've been able to do, as well as our community. Definitely really cognizant about supporting local. So props to the community members for that as well. But, just a continuation of the good partnerships that we've had established for a long time and doing what we can for the situation. So.
Thanks, Kelsey. Any other staff members? I see that, Tim gave us a memo also.
We included in the report to the City Commission the feedback from the various involved department heads on it.
Yep, Scott.
Department of Public Works, Police, Main Street, and Planning and Zoning.
Okay. Okay, I see that Kurt is in the audience. Are you with us, Kirk?
I am. How are you guys doing? I'm back.
Good. You got the floor.
All right, perfect. So I'm actually here on a different note than what was just reported. I actually have a whole speech for you guys. So I'm here because I've talked to most of the surrounding businesses. I've talked to quite a few of them. Dan Duncan was one big one. I spoke with Mike Castiglione tonight. I've spoke with the chamber, and I've spoke with a vet across the road from us. And I'm watching, and I'm worried about Boyne City. I'm worried mostly because of this pandemic that's been a part of our life since March. That's 9 months. And we have seen some poor moves done by the city, a lack of leadership as to where we can go and what we can do. The buying of a theater during a pandemic was just poor timing. The $35,000 for patio furniture during the time seems like a poor use of funds, knowing we're coming into this and it wasn't going to end as soon as everyone thought it was. I think about that, how much that money could have helped, knowing where we were headed for another lockdown, how much that could have helped small town Boyne in low interest loans or grants, how much that could have saved a few of the businesses that I fear, or we all fear, are going to fail due to this second shutdown, which is more damaging than the first one. We're not ramping up into summer. We got caught up with our summer money from what we lost. And now we're at flush and touching money that none of us businesses should be touching until January, February in this small town. All this needs to be taken into consideration with the idea that Boyne Mountain, which is the bulk of Boyne City's businesses' money, people coming to Boyne Mountain, filling Boyne Mountain, that might not happen, most likely won't happen this winter. So that is a huge chunk that we're all going to miss out in Boyne City. Going into this other lockdown, people can think that they didn't see it coming, but that's simply untrue. It's been on all of our minds this whole time, knowing we were coming into another lockdown in the winter. We have seen our leaders and our DDA do little to nothing to help the small businesses in downtown. I'm not sure what businesses they're reporting they've talked to, but I've talked to them all, and they're all telling me the same thing. Where is the leadership? I have been assigned, and I'm apparently the only one willing to come here and say, where are you guys during this time? We all, the businesses that we have taken it on ourselves to think outside the box, to think out and come up with new ways. I've actually worked very well with Mike Kane, and I have no issues with how he's handling things and how he's handling us and other businesses and allowing us to branch out with these new ideas. I've actually, Tom, you were there. You were at one of my events. I proved that it can be done safely. It can be done flawlessly, and it can be done. It's not the cancellation of events. It's just rethinking the way we do things. We have a whole city at our fingertips, not just Lake Street and not just Water Street. We have a whole city. We can seriously space everybody out and make this safe for everybody and still maintain our quality of normalcy that we've had. We can still do our events. Canceling the food truck rally is an outdoor way, and the only way they really want us to serve food is outside. Canceling that was a bad move. Canceling Harvest Fest was a bad move. That's an outdoor event. We could have spaced it out throughout the city and not just kept it into one little block. No communication with small business. I should be on that business email list, and apparently I'm not. And then moving the farmers market indoors, and that just shows me that there's a lack of foresight as to what is a good idea. We cancel all these outdoor events, yet we move farmers market inside. I get the time of year, and I get why it had to go inside, but how does that justify canceling the outdoor events? And the refusal that I have not seen the DDA whatsoever. I have not received anything. I don't see anything. I don't understand. I see they were up for an award. They won an award, and I'm standing here wondering why. I'm talking to all the businesses, and they're saying the same thing. Where's the support? Where's the leadership? I feel like we should be able to rely on our DDA and our commission and our city at this point to say, something has to change. Status quo doesn't work anymore. The 10 or 30 or 50 or 100 years we've been doing things, it now changes with this new world. I personally have ideas, events, and even involved other businesses, competing businesses at that, to get involved. The city or the Boyne City restaurants picked up Stroll the Streets knowing that it could be done safely. We picked it up and we were met with opposition. I even had the cops called on me in front of my business for putting a van there. I get it to a point, but give me a break. I've shown you guys that that can be done safely. And the fact that the cops were involved in that complaint was absolutely ridiculous to me. I don't blame the city for the beginning. I don't blame you guys. I get what had happened and I get that it was something new, but we're 9 months in now. What is the exit strategy? Is there an exit strategy?
Kurt, I'm going to interrupt you. I did not give you my warning of 5 minutes. You've been 5 minutes, but I'm going to let you keep going for another five.
Okay. I got one more page.
Yeah, no, I'm going to let you go for another five. We appreciate your comments. Go ahead.
So to me, it's time to lead. It's time for us to do what we can do. It's to the idea that without this leadership, Boyne businesses and Boyne citizens are going to suffer greatly. We're coming into a rough season and a rough time for everyone to be out of work and everyone to be feeling this. At this point, I have very little confidence. Like I said, the status quo was no longer going to work. Normal isn't coming back. Traditions died in March and the world has changed. I feel it's time that we change to meet with it. I do have ideas. I am willing to help where I can. And I am more than happy to serve in any way on any type of committee that needs to be made. I have a few ideas that I can talk to anyone about. I have them all written down right here, but it's time for Boyne City to have an exit strategy. It's time for us to figure out our own answers than to stand back and wait for them. And that's all that we are seeing as businesses downtown is waiting for someone else to give us answers. And that is all.
Okay. Appreciate your comments. I really do appreciate it. We appreciate constructive criticism. I would contend that I disagree with you on some topics, but probably today is not the day to discuss those. Is there anyone else in the audience? Patrick?
Showing none currently, Mayor.
Okay. We did get the email from Leslie Nielsen, and it was quite supportive. And I know that our staff has worked and diligently and every day communicated. And, you know, we're getting a little bit different report than what you're feeling. Not that I don't respect your point of view there, Kirk. Let's see what you got up on the screen. Is this one from Leslie? Yes, this is up on the screen is the one from Leslie. It is a tough time. We're all in this together. I know Kelsey has communicated daily with many, many, many businesses downtown, if not everyone. But we are welcoming creative thoughts.
I have several.
Okay. Mike, you want to respond or should I go to board deliberation here?
No, I don't necessarily want to respond or debate with Kurt. I appreciate his comments and I'd be glad to, you know, have a conversation with him either on phone or Zoom or with, you know, to hear what he's thinking and I'm sure, you know, Kelsey or the chamber would be glad to as well too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, Sally?
You're muted, Sally. There you go.
Right. Okay. I know it's a really hard time. I have had the sense usually when I, and I don't go in stores or anything right now, but I've had the sense from Boyne City that a lot of people are trying to work together to get through this, and I appreciate any efforts that are made because it's something that none of us have had to face before.
Thank you, Sally. Hugh?
I also heard from Mike Castiglione. We talked on the phone yesterday, and he's tried some innovative things. He has the igloos there out front that are working pretty well for him. He charges to rent them, and then he has food service to them, and he's looking at the possibility of having more, but they're quite expensive, and he was just, I believe he said he was going to be applying for a grant. I think they're somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,400 or $1,500 each, plus, you know, putting them together apparently isn't easy. He's based it on a, I believe it's another brew pub in Cadillac that's got four or five of them. And they've had them for 4 or 5 years, and they're lasting pretty well. So, you know, he's kind of optimistic about that. I think the parking lot being closed for him in the summer was did him well. I'd be curious from the chief or Mike if there were any complaints about the loss of parking there. I didn't hear any. I know
no, there were none. You
okay?
I not that I heard of.
Yeah, I hadn't heard, and Mike hadn't really heard of anything either, and he's got a good positive relationship with the co-op across the street, so they would be the ones that would be impacted the most. It appears to me that, you know, I certainly can feel the pain that Kurt is going through, and I would hate to be in small business during these kind of traumatic times. It seems like there needs to be some financial support if, you know, businesses need to be able to get through these difficult times and finding fault about events or this or that. You know, you know, we can go back and try to fix that. But I think going forward, Mike, you had sent something out today that the MEDC is going to be working through the Michigan Municipal League, and they're going to have $10 or $15 million to loan out to small businesses geared specifically to restaurants. And there were two other categories that I'm drawing a blank on now. And I had noticed in Elk Rapids that the Elk Rapids DDA had a $30,000 or $40,000 loan or grant program that it had available to small businesses, that maybe that would be something that we look into. And but I think that, you know, and that was one of the comments that Mike Castiglione made, that, you know, that there's just a problem in the short term here of payroll and just keeping people afloat. And as Kurt said, you know, the businesses are using money that usually they don't use until the first quarter of the new year. So, you know, I don't know locally what we can do as far as grants or loans, that type of thing. But it certainly is an issue that, you know, we really need to be creative and we need to work together, and finding fault or finding blame is not going to get us anywhere. Maybe we can encourage the county to get involved. I'm not sure what kind of resources they have. I saw something in Oakland County where they were making available, you know, a good chunk of money to local businesses through a state program that the county participated in. You know, there may be the resources. I don't know about foundations, you know, if we can try some local financing of some sort, but, you know, we need to be creative and we need to work together. I'd also like to mention that at the Parks and Rec, we're trying to, you know, noticing how busy the parks were this past summer, like Avalanche having, you know, 75 to 100 cars there, the parks were full. You know, people are going to want to get out, and what can we do to make their outdoor activity better in the wintertime? You know, maybe grooming more trails at Avalanche, maybe looking around the community, where else can we groom something for walking, cross-country skiing, or doing whatever. So, I mean, this needs to be a group effort. My 5 minutes are probably up. We need to keep positive. We need to work together. And, you know, hopefully we can just hold hands together and work through this.
Thanks, Jill. Ryan?
Well, this pandemic that we're going through right now, just it's somewhat like the oil embargo was back in 1974. And I think about, you know, as far as teamwork and working together with different projects to make it work. But 1980, again, with banking failures, the car industry went down. Each one of these events was, you know, 4 to 6, 7 year cycle, you know, working their way out of it. And a lot of us that had business had to borrow money in order to keep people working and provide the services that they needed to keep their business going. And it's really a tough time right now. And I feel bad to see that's, you know, so many people, how it's affected them. And it's, I'm sure we're going to make it through, and it's, we just got to, as everybody has said, we've got to stick together and keep working at it and not get discouraged. So.
Thanks, Ron. Dean?
Yeah, well, you know, certainly the short-term challenge is great, just making it through. There's hope on the way. We all see that in the news every day. So we will emerge from this next year. And sort of on that note, you know, we're going to emerge into something. I'm wondering of the tools that we used this summer and the flexibility that we allowed, I wonder what of those were promising enough that we might want to consider making them permanent. Maybe it has something to do with flexibility with the type of food truck like Kurt has, or maybe having to use the public spaces or the pickup, you know, any of those. I'm just wondering, Mike or Kelsey, what did we try that seemed especially promising for the long term?
I think the short-term flexibility and going back to an earlier comment. Now, obviously, our volume of customers and things were down, so our parking demand wasn't heavy as it is in a normal summer, especially because we weren't having a lot of the major events and things of that nature. But I think there may be some additional flexibility that we can do with parking and maybe opening up some spaces or things like that, kind of like we did with Cafe Sante or over by Stig's and things of that nature, or you know, allowing the food truck to go downtown or things of that nature. I think some of those flexibilities are things that we might want to take a look at longer term.
Great, thanks. I would just add I don't think the to-go food is going to be ending anytime soon. That might be just a shift we see, you know, for quite a while with people, and those spots have continued to be popular and appreciated.
I think it's going to take a couple of years to actually find out what the new normal is. And we're going to have to remain flexible during that time frame. I'd almost hate to make changes now based on what we're seeing so far, because I think the things are going to continue to evolve. I think the flexibility the commission has given us has been a good start. With regards to the financial issues, that's something we've been concerned about from the long time, that the winter is going to be the hardest period to get through, and how we can do that. So there may be some things that the city can do, some help at the federal or state level would be certainly be appreciated as well too.
Thanks, Mike. Well, I would conclude this saying that we, I think as a city, are open to ideas and suggestions, but I will also defend us in saying that I think that Kelsey and Mike and the chamber has reached out to the business community very extensively and had some very good feedback and had some very good passing of information. Kelsey has had tons of information that she emails daily, weekly, and I think we can continue doing that. And if we can improve on that, so be it. And we are welcome to new ideas.
Mayor?
What's before us? Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I didn't know if you were done. When you're done, come back to me, please.
Well, what's before us is to extend authorization, basically. So it's basically a motion. The city manager's recommendation to extend authorization, allowing the city manager to continue to take steps. So that's kind of what before us. It kind of ties into all the comments. So we will need a motion, but go ahead, Mike.
Well, obviously, you know, if we follow up with Kurt or anybody else, if anybody wants to bring some additional things that would need to go beyond the approval that we're recommending the commission extend at this point, we would come back to the commission and say, okay, here's a new path that we need to go to that's beyond the boundaries of what you've given us authority to, and move forward on that. I also want to let you know that I do see that Kurt's hand is raised again, so I don't know if he has any additional comments. If you did want to go back to him, that's a commission choice. I mean, you have gone into board deliberation, but want to make sure you're aware of that.
Thank you. Yeah, Kurt, we'll go back to you. We usually don't, but it's weird circumstances. Please, you got the floor.
Can you hear me? You can hear me, right? I don't want to seem like I'm pointing fingers so much as I do understand we have not seen this in our lifetime. This is an unprecedented situation. I do agree with Hugh. There's got to be some sort of some kind of, let's say, local authority to do those small grants or do those small interest loans, but something along those lines, because you can't really, we can't stand here and say that the state's going to send us help. That's, we can't. And we can't say that the federal is going to, because we don't know. So to save our own town, so that when we wake up when this is over, we have to take this into our own hands. So I guess the whole point of my meeting or me doing this is to bring this to your attention. It's time for us to orchestrate our own exit strategy, our own way out of this. It's time for us to change the way we do things, to not cancel events, but maybe revamp events. We can't, the town can't recover if you lose all of its revenue. The town will lose its revenue without the events. This is what Boyne is known for, are their smaller events or their events. This is why people come here. So if we continue to cancel them, you're going to continue to see a decline in business. You're going to continue to see people just stop coming. We need those people. We love those people. As much as we love our locals, we love those people. We need them. So don't take me doing this as a finger pointing, but as a way to enlighten, to say it's time we come up with our own plan that may involve people outside of city commission. It may involve younger people with a new, a progressive way of thinking, a newer way of doing things. And to involve me, involve my business, involve my brother, involve the businesses around us. And as the times are changing, involve these people into these committees to make something happen. We can't depend on other people. We have to do it as Boyne City in a whole. It has to be the citizens. It can't just be the businesses. It has to be the citizens, everybody around us. Like, we just have to make our own exit strategy. That was how I put that my speech was, actually.
So noted. We appreciate your comments. We will be in touch. Let's go back to board deliberation. Is there anything else that needs to be discussed before we entertain a motion for continuing the authorization for city to continue making decisions?
Yeah, Mayor, I think before we make that motion, we probably ought to think about a time frame to extend that through.
Okay.
So left open-ended there. Probably ought to have a date on it. And I guess I would suggest probably at least through the first 9 months, perhaps, of 2021.
Okay. So you're saying till September 1st, basically?
Yeah, you know, it could be even the whole year. I don't know, but we ought to have an end date on it so that we have an opportunity to revisit and talk about these questions again and to get feedback.
Okay. Okay.
Dean?
Yeah.
If you were thinking of that as a motion, do we also want to put in maybe a couple quarterly check-in sessions or something like that along the way too?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, kind of like we did with the Heritage Centers was what I'm thinking of. And I do appreciate giving the long-term, the 9 month or a year type of extension for that. Because I think we are just going to be adjusting as we go through. And I think that's better than just going to Memorial Day or something like that. But I think some check-ins might be appropriate as well too, if we have to make some adjustments.
Dean, would you like to make that motion?
Mr. Mayor, before we do that, I'd like to just bring up a point too.
Sure.
The Parks and Rec Commission meets on Thursday, and as I mentioned, they're talking about a variety of ideas. Nothing has been decided. You know, it was just kind of a creative session, but there might be the need or the opportunity, I should say, to invest into some equipment, maybe to make some things happen that we'd like to see done. And I was just wondering if, since we don't meet again until January 15th, which would be kind of late for us to be preparing for the winter, if maybe we could have a fund of not to exceed $5,000 or $10,000 that we might be able to invest in equipment that might be needed to make these things happen.
Okay. Further discussion, commissioners or Mike? You know, the along with that, the committee that I'm on, the Economic Vitality, we talked about, you know, downtown fireplaces located strategically to you know, make it attractive to be downtown and have a carryout dinner and do some retail shopping. But again, it's tough because the last thing you want to do is to gather people downtown. So we're in a new territory, as has been discussed. So, but again, okay, fireplaces cost some money. Grooming equipment costs some money, and whatever else money might be needed to create this atmosphere of good business and or gathering or quality events or quality facilities. So Mike, you want to speak on the on Hugh's aspect of adding money to this?
If I maybe I could clarify too.
Sure.
Maybe we approve this motion, which I'm totally supportive of, and then maybe, could we add maybe a little bit of discussion just on something different that's not necessarily related to the business, but just how we can respond to the outdoor needs that our residents are going to have this winter to make it a more possibly pleasurable experience and more variety.
I hate to add something to the agenda, Hugh, but I think if you gave us a brief summary right now, it wouldn't have to be part of this agenda or part of this motion. But, you know, I'll give you the floor to explore what you're in a little more detail, what you're thinking.
Well, I hate to speak on behalf of the committee when we really haven't decided on anything. It was just an idea, you know, it was ideas and nothing was going to cost, you know, much at all. But it would just be good to have that avenue if we decide to do something that we would have the support and the financial wherewithal to do it.
Sure. Sure. That's probably true with everything. Yes.
Why don't I jump in? And one of the things that's been discussed about and may tie into this and may be discussed at Parks and Rec on Thursday, I can think of two things right off the top of my head. One, we've talked about one of our successes over the last summer has been the introduction of the non-motorized trail between us and Boyne Falls. And to see if there's some type of way that we could encourage use for that in the winter with either snowshoeing or cross-country skiing or things of that nature. And we've started to make some overtures with regards to other entities to see if there's some way to groom those trails or things of that nature, which, you know, could mean the purchase of equipment or could mean partnering with somebody and help offsetting their expenses. There may be different ways to do some of that. Another opportunity is one of the things that we have seen, and you know, really didn't dawn on me until we were having this conversation today, is just everybody's known how successful and popular Avalanche has been over the summer months. I mean, sometimes it's almost, you know, we've been wondering if it's been too popular, but we never quite got to that point that I was aware of. But where there is that number of people coming to Avalanche and then spacing out as they're walking the trails or things of that nature, you know, that might be an opportunity for, you know, somebody like Kurt to put his food truck there on certain days when it doesn't make sense to be downtown, where it might make sense to, you know, set up something out there, especially with a self-contained unit like he has. So there might be some other opportunities that, you know, may or may not cost money. Obviously, the commission's given me some authority to modify things. If the commission wants to, you know, establish a little fund to work with regards to kind of what Hugh's talking about, we can do that. But again, you know, with obviously some reporting back to the commission to let you know what I'm doing, preferably before I do it.
That sounds good to me, Mike. And with you talking about the food truck, that does raise a question. I was asked what the policy is for food trucks. I know Kurt has his, but weren't we limiting food trucks to just people or businesses that had a brick and mortar business in town?
Correct. We were not looking to create competition for our existing businesses and taxpayers in town.
That's what I thought, and that's what I related, but I just wanted to make sure I was speaking correctly.
That was the direction I was given by the city commission earlier and our previous discussions as we entered this.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I remember as well.
Which was one of the reasons that, you know, that got into the food truck rally. But again, I'm not looking to debate issues. I'm just looking to receive input and figure out how we can do it better.
So if we approve the motion as presented with Dean's changes for making it 9 months or a year with quarterly updates, does that leave enough room for us to possibly invest some money without adding that to the motion?
If you're going to authorize the expenditure of money, I would like that part of a motion, either this motion or some other motion, so that there's a clear record with regards to it.
Would it, do you need a limit on that, or can we just say?
I'm fine without any limit. Yeah, I mean, you just give me the city credit card. I'll enjoy myself.
But legally,
I would prefer some boundaries established on that, so that at least there's a commonality as to what we're talking about. I mean, he was talking about some seed money, and with regards to equipment and things of that nature, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 or something of that. That's fine. We'd ultimately have to identify the source. I mean, are these funds that you're looking at are just going to come from the general fund, from the Main Street DDA fund, some other types of funds as well too. But I guess depending on what we come up with, we would kind of have to come back and revisit that issue.
Yeah, I guess it's a little cart before the horse. I'd be a lot more comfortable if I saw a proposal of what we wanted to invest in before approving an amount of money for it. I realized that, you know, this is our last scheduled meeting, but it probably wouldn't be very much effort for us to have a quick special meeting once the Parks and Rec Committee has a chance to develop some ideas and vet those, determine what the source of funds would be, and then have something more tangible to look at, consider and approve, and thereby leave it open for public comment too, as we typically would.
Okay, so we have two differing thoughts here. Is one to go ahead with a motion with some timelines and some feedback, quarterly feedback, and another thought is to tie some money in with it, and another thought is to not tie money into it.
I'm good with Dean's suggestion on a special meeting if that works for other people. We should be able to clarify some things after Thursday, and maybe need a day or two to work with some of the partners that we've talked to about sharing some things. So if the commission is going to be available next week for a special meeting, that's fine.
I'd go for that. The other thing I'd like to, weigh in on a bit, I'm certainly support the recommendation to extend the authorization for Mike, but I think, for going after people resources, like our people with second homes and all the people that love Boyne City but don't know how to, get involved, we might put some kind of a tagline to this, a name to this initiative, like something that Kurt mentioned a few minutes ago. One of the things he said, was quote unquote, save our town. And that's basically what we're trying to do. And maybe a tagline with, when we're talking to people about what can I do or how can I help, but just maybe something like that, like our Keep the Dream Alive initiative that we had for years. Right now, it's the dream is to save our city. And a lot of the stuff that we do reaches the newspapers and reaches the different TV stations. And Mike's been a great ambassador for us as far as telling the story about Boyne City. So this would give him a tagline that, maybe that town sounds too simplistic, but that's what we're trying to do is save the town. And I'm okay with another meeting last week, whatever it takes to bring the right people together to make things happen. And there's a lot of people out there, people resources out there that can help us.
All Well said, Ron. Thank you. Well, we do have a motion on the floor.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. And can you clarify, can you read that back, Caroline, or clarify what?
I'm not sure we actually need the motion, but I can make the motion if you'd like me to.
Okay.
So I'll move to extend authorization allowing the city manager to continue to take steps he deems necessary and prudent to work with local businesses to help support their businesses. And that authorization would extend through 2021 to December 31st, 2021, with the requirement of quarterly updates and discussion and input for the commission.
Thank you, Dean.
I'll second.
And we have a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please. Oh, did we have discussion?
I just see Kurt has his hand raised. I don't know if that if you wanted to hear any more.
I didn't mean that.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Thanks. We'll get through this. We're all in this together. Let's move on to item E. It's the meeting schedule for 2021. Okay, is that you, Caroline?
I believe Cindy was going to cover that, but
okay.
Cindy?
I can cover that. So you have before you the memo that you get annually from me, and we have to formally adopt a meeting schedule for 2021. And you have before you that meeting schedule. As usual, we left out that second meeting in December because of usually there's a lot of activities around the holidays. And as always, if there's a special meeting required, we can go ahead and call that. But rather than schedule that meeting and cancel it, we just do it right off the bat. You also have the tentative budget schedule for fiscal year 22 with the activities beginning first part of January before you. So if you have any questions.
I'm sure Patrick can put up that calendar on the next page if you'd like to see that or need to. Thank you.
March looks busy as usual.
Well, we put into that, you have the next sheet, which is the tentative budget schedule. The budget would be presented to the commission on the 9th. We'd have our initial informal review, kind of overview meeting on that on Thursday the 11th. Then we'd have our all-day budget work session on the 17th with a follow-up day on that on the 18th if necessary. So that's what those squares are for that. The rest of the schedule, as Cindy mentioned, pretty much follows our past pattern, and that seems to work pretty well for everybody.
Okay.
And obviously, we hope that some of these meetings would actually be in-person meetings next year.
Okay. Any more input from staff? And anybody in the audience want to weigh in on this?
No one currently.
Thank you. Hugh?
Well, I'd make a motion to approve the 2021 meeting calendar as presented.
We have a motion, but we haven't gone through everybody. Anybody else have any input to the schedule, or you just want to go with Hugh's motion here?
I'm good with it.
Okay.
I'm good. Now,
Dean?
Yeah, it works. Sometimes I have a problem potentially in March there 1 week, but I don't even know where that's going to be next year. So I think this is fine.
Yeah, schedules are hard to do right now.
Yeah. Obviously, we can always amend the calendar if we need to, but we need to start with something.
Okay. Hugh has a motion. Do we have a second?
I would second.
Sally with a second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grunch. Oops, I'm sorry. Conklin.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Tom?
Yes.
I see that we have with us County Chairperson Chris Christensen is still here. And I wonder if he can comment if he knows if the County Board of Commissioners is going to consider the declaration of an emergency for us to keep electronic meetings going for some point in 2021.
Chris?
Yeah, it's supposed to be discussed tomorrow. I'm not sure if we're going to take an action tomorrow or not. You know, we do have another meeting scheduled toward the end of the year. And we were thinking, you know, one of the discussions was to wait and see how the state reacts. I'm pretty sure we'll put something in place, whether it's tomorrow or, you know, possibly the 22nd or 23rd. That's probably what the discussion is going to be about tomorrow in the event that they continue that or don't continue that. You know, we are probably going to give them the opportunity to do it first. So that definitely will be a discussion at tomorrow's meeting.
And that's similar to the position I'm recommending here with the city commission. If the state would do it, so much the better. I did want to mention to Chris that I did appreciate Kevin Shepard reaching out to me on this issue. So thank him for me.
We just wanted to make sure that the bigger thing was the ramifications that come with it and how it's going to affect everybody and how, you know, the positive is greater than the negative because it gives an open option to anyone to attend these meetings who otherwise wouldn't be able to. So that's pretty much the real upside to this, is especially some of the other populations that are particularly needing to be protected right now. So to put everybody into a position to say, if you want to participate, you have to show up in person. It doesn't seem like that's necessarily fair until we get this whole thing sorted out. So that's kind of where we're headed, I think.
Yeah, and I'm glad you raised that issue because I shared that both with Kevin and my conversation with them and also with our state representatives and senators as they're considering possibly changing legislation in Lansing. So thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Anything for good of the order? Ron, you got anything?
Good.
Dean?
I'm good.
Valley?
I'm good.
You?
Mike, I was wondering if it might be good to have a meeting agenda item sometime after the first of the year about the open space and the issues with apparently the easement and the impact that's having on our grant, you know, just to dig into that a little bit deeper.
Sure. Yeah, that's currently in the state's hands right now. Matter of fact, we got an email from them in response to an inquiry as to where they are on resolving that issue. And it seemed very positive and upbeat, but we just don't have a timeline when they're looking to that completion.
That's all.
Thank you. Okay, thanks. I wish everybody happy holidays. Thank you for tonight's meeting, and the city offices will be closed December 24th and 25th for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and they will be also closed on December 31st and January 1st for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and our next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for January 12th at 7 p.m. It is, what time we got here? It is 8:26, and I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Grinch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Good night.
Oh.